Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah. This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Happy New Year. We're live in downtown Vegas. Circa Resort and Casino is the spot. Las Vegas, of course, one of the hottest cities in the country every year. For New Year's, busy three-hour program lined up today. Chris Felica in 30 minutes. What does he think of his Canes tonight in action against Ohio State, one of the quarterfinal games that we have in the college football playoffs? Mike Palm in studio in 90 minutes. Steve Wiss, best bets in soccer. Very busy day mañana. And Matt Eumanns on the program, VSiN host. Best bets in college football coming up a little bit later on. How you doing, Paulie? Feeling pretty good?
Yeah, excited for this one tonight. The books did a great job with props, and we'll see if Miami can make it interesting.
I would say that this place is crawling right now, and it, you know, obviously the closer that you get to New Year's, the busier it's going to be. Yesterday, the floor, the mega bar, very busy. Today, the casino is absolutely packed, and we have a bunch of games going on. We'll get into that game coming up in a little bit. Right. By the way, upset brewing out here in Las Vegas. Nebraska is a 14-plus point dog, leading Utah 14-7. The Utes down to a 6.5-point favorite. Doesn't appear to be a fluke so far. Nebraska on two drives getting whatever they want so far on offense in this game. So on the money line, they're already down to plus 185 in the game, and the total's at 63.5.
There's no stops in the Sun Bowl. 28-24 Duke. 79.5 the in-play total, not even halftime. And Michigan and Texas, 10-10.
Now, how about all the money here on game day on the Wolverines?
Yeah.
That drove it all the way down to the lowest I saw was there was a four out there for a second, I believe. I saw that actually flash on the screen. But about 4.5, that number was as high as 7.5. So all that money now on Michigan today, and they got off to a blazing hot start. I texted our buddy, by the way, good job yesterday by Paul Stone on the show, and he really liked Iowa. And they defeated Vanderbilt earlier today, got the outright upset. Then tons of money on the Hawkeyes today before close.
Hey, Big Ten runs this sport, man.
Yes, they do.
SEC 2-6 in bowls.
So I text Stone about all this movement on the Michigan-Texas game today. Eight of the top 13 tacklers for Texas decided to sit out of the game, plus opt-outs on offense. And he said clearly more impacted by missing players than Michigan. And he actually did take Michigan at about +7.5, +7 small a couple of days ago before the number started to move a little bit in favor of the other side there.
And a four-point move on the total with all those guys missing on defense.
And Michigan just scored again.
Oh, boy.
16-10. They're $1.35 now to win the game at DraftKings. 2.5 on the spread, and the total is 61.5. That is a very high-scoring game so far. 10 minutes to play. And change now in the second quarter. At some point, I think that number, the in-play total, is going to get too high, don't we think? Where it's going to look enticing to maybe bet an under?
But not now.
Some of these games do take on, they're like a snowflake, right? Every game is different, and they take on a life all of their own.
Right. You saw that. You kept hitting the over in-play in the North Texas game, where every possession they scored and San Diego State would answer. The leader in the clubhouse is East Carolina, 4-1 on the money line. Nebraska trying to beat that. Nebraska was as high as +450 on the money line. So right now, 14-7 late in the first quarter in the Las Vegas Bowl.
And look, I get it, the injury to Raiola, not playing in the game, and Nebraska, you know, far from a great season again this year. But the whole Utah-Whittingham thing taking off, and I know that the new coach was the guy in waiting the entire time, so they were supposed to be good to go. But they, you know, this number was driven up to, you know, 14.5. Betting it as if, like, you know, no problem here. Utah is going to be able to run away with this game. And the thought is here probably that, you know, Nebraska travels quite well, but Utah very close to Las Vegas. That's actually a drivable distance and a very easy flight. Maybe home field here could go towards the Utes. But so far in this game, Nebraska giving them everything that they want and then some.
Well, so I hope the game tonight's competitive. And I think Miami's defense is good enough to do that. You know, Brad Powers made the case for the Miami team total under. I think Fletcher goes over his rushing yards, 55.5. He has to be a big part of the game plan. Beck is as high as $1.80 to throw an interception. There's great props on this game. And the big question also from a total standpoint is Ryan Day taking over with the play calling duties. What does it look like tempo-wise? Is it going to be more take your time, methodical, or are they going to try to go more up-tempo here and see what they do offensively against a great Miami defense that was phenomenal against A&M? But to me, if I'm Miami, I have to get the rushing game going with Fletcher, easier said than done, and I have to force the ball to Tony.
Got to get him involved.
Have to. Take deep shots. You know, he's in their low 60s for his receiving yards prop, which seems kind of low, but you're going against a nasty defense, and maybe it's the same thing that happened last year, that late loss benefits Ohio State and allows them to get their act together and no one touches them. And as Brad Powers said many times on this show, the only team that can beat Ohio State is themselves, that they're so good.
Yeah. And at DraftKings, Ohio State is down to 8.5. Here at Circa, they're 9. At FanDuel and other spots, they are still out there at 9.5. And the total did move to 41 earlier today at a couple of spots, now back down to 40.5. And obviously, that's down a couple of points today in the VSiN Daily. Bill 80 went and checked out the Circa Friday Football Invitational page to see which handicappers might have been involved in this game. Scott Pritchard, Chris Felica, and Chris Massaro are all on Miami plus 9.5. Felica coming up on this show in about 24 minutes from right now. He'll explain why he likes the Hurricanes. Jason Jarvis is actually on the other side, 9.5 with Ohio State, under 42.5. And Edwin Meyer and Carl Sack are also on the under. And their plays had to be posted, obviously, was it last Friday for these games? So they it was 42.5 at the time. So they're obviously in cahoots with the market so far.
How many points do they score?
If they score 17, can they win the game? I think the answer to that is yes.
Yeah, okay.
Now, the key to me is what kind of start will Ohio State's offense get off to? Like, if they get out to a quick 10-0, or maybe they have a couple of impressive drives, and nothing like I'm talking about with Indiana, those long drives that melted clock and they resulted in no points. If it's, you know, and probably going back to last year's Rose Bowl, that's a little unfair too because they killed Oregon. But if they can go on like a 7-play drive, 80 yards, and score a touchdown right away, and then maybe back that up with another score, that's going to be probably curtains, I think, for Miami, too much to overcome. But if they can limit the wide receivers for Ohio State out of the gates, and if Bain and company are getting to Sain and that pressure, that D-line is no joke, man, for Miami. And if they can, you know, somehow be a force right away in this game and show the Buckeyes that, you know, we're pretty damn good ourselves and we're not going to go anywhere, they have to be in this game early on. But I do think there's an angle here where maybe alt numbers, like 17-14 final would not surprise me at all in this game.
You can get great seats for $45.
Are
we going to rethink all of this now? Would they have to be on campus sites?
The same thing with the Rose Bowl tomorrow.
Yeah.
Has that ever been the situation in our lifetime where it's been a problem selling tickets to the Rose Bowl?
No. That, at least you have the horrible weather. But this,
right.
I mean, it goes back to Ohio State fans expect to make a deep run, so saving their money for the other games.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Miami's not traveling well. But it's crazy that you see this, that unbelievable tickets are going for $45.
It really is. I don't know. Maybe they're going to have to come up with a new process, obviously, because this board is broken for the most part. I mean,
you can go home games in this round too, which people want.
Yeah. Like Derek Stevens said yesterday, the idea of expanding to 16 teams, I know you don't like the idea, but that actually means that we're going to have more meaningful contests, and because these other bowl games are just, they've become more worthless than ever. And, you know, having interest in these bowls when we were younger and even not that long ago, actually, it was one of the best times of the entire year to get involved betting-wise.
So if you think that they go under their team total or it's just 17, how about Ohio State fewest points allowed plus 235 out of all four of these games?
You
say, okay, I'll take my chances that that's going to hold up. Miami not to score a touchdown is 7-1 at Caesars.
Well, let me flip it by asking you a question here. Do you think Miami can win the game?
They can win the game.
I think they can.
Yes.
So why not Miami to allow the fewest points?
Ooh, that's 40-1.
There you go.
Well, I think that's, they would have to win a low-scoring game.
Yeah, I can't see this being 33-30 Miami.
I would agree. And most points scored, Georgia's the favorite. And a lot of them are bunched up.
God, I feel like I'm the Lone Ranger who likes Ole Miss.
Yeah. Plus 250, Georgia. Most points scored. Buckeyes are 8-1. Indiana's 5. Oregon is plus 450.
Well, how about the stuff from Cignetti now?
Yeah, why is he bringing that up time and time again about it?
Three times today alone, brought it up, unsolicited evidently, that the travel is really getting to the team. They have not handled it well this week.
Bad practices.
Horrible practices, yeah.
Yeah. Well, That on top of you never see Alabama in this price range. 2008, last time they were catching this many points.
Right.
But it also goes back to it's going to be a flood out there. And Alabama can't run the ball. And what does that mean if it's just going to be it's going to rain all game?
Here's
what
where,
that could look like.
Yeah, here's where I'm a little bit hesitant to lay it with seven. Indiana, I haven't heard a single person make the case for Alabama. That's a little scary to me.
Well, that's, yeah. Well, Paul Stone was the first guy to go Texas Tech yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Oregon's
that's true.
Oregon's very popular.
Have you bet this game?
Rose Bowl?
Yeah.
I'm taking Bama.
Yeah.
I don't understand why he keeps... There must be something to it that he's bringing it up three times about bad practices and where we didn't handle the travel well and the distractions with L.A.
Right.
Okay.
Maybe it means nothing.
Well.
But, again, all I've heard the entire time leading up this game is Indiana, Indiana, Indiana.
Yeah.
And it was six and a half up to seven, well, so.
I don't mind if Jeremiah Smith is right, saying that we're going to see Indiana again. And that'll be the championship game.
Yeah, I'd sign up for that.
I'd like to see that, too.
You can
bet that. You can bet that against the field. You can say they're minus $2. You can have Ohio State and Indiana or the field.
And that matchup is $2?
No, that they win it.
Oh, I see.
You get the two big boys. There's also a Big Ten against the field, too.
All right, we'll update the NBA games in action, dive into NFL news. We'll give you some second-half numbers, including one of the best teams in the league after halftime. Details on that next year. And follow the money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
Is Follow the Money on VSiN.
College football time. We head out to the Progressive guest line. Chris the Bear Felica joins the program. Bear Bets Podcast, Fox Sports as well. Happy New Year, Bear. Thanks for the time today. How are you?
Of course. Happy New Year to you guys as well. Happy to be on here. Great. What, today, tomorrow, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, five awesome days of football, man.
What a week.
Yes.
And you're not hiding it here. You went to Miami, and you have the Hurricanes Adidas jersey on the way, it looks, huh?
Yeah, I got the long sleeve on. I'm not hiding. I went there. I worked with the team back when Mario actually was a player. He and I crossed over a couple of years. So, yeah, but proud. I'll admit it. I'm excited for this game. This is the most excited I've been about a Miami game since 2017 when I was with Game Day. And Game Day did the show where Notre Dame was down there. Notre Dame was undefeated at the time, and Miami won big. And it's the biggest game that Miami has been involved in since that 2003 Fiesta Bowl that they lost to Ohio State. So it's been a long time coming, and I feel really good about the trajectory of the team, win or lose tonight.
What do you make of the market right now at DraftKings? Down to 8.5 now, the Buckeyes are here at circa 9. Other spots still sitting at 9.5. But what are your thoughts overall on that number?
Yeah, I took Miami early. I took Miami in a look-ahead line at 8.5, thinking that it was going to come down right away. And I was shocked when we saw some 9s and 9.5s. I think the line, and I've been getting a lot of, shockingly, people on social media, especially the Ohio State fans, disagreeing with my take that I thought the number was a little bit disrespectful towards Miami.
Yeah.
Because think back to the earlier part of the year when we were having the conversation, is it Ohio State or is it Miami that's the best team in the country? And Miami slipped up a couple times, and then Ohio State wound up slipping up to Indiana. So it's probably Indiana that's the best team in the country. And I don't think people really want to admit that right now. But I think Miami defensively can do some things that's going to give Ohio State some trouble. I would expect a lot more Julian Sain throwing tonight against the Miami defense with Ryan Day now stepping in. With Brian Hartline gone, I think you're going to see a little bit more tempo. But I also think that opens up some potential for Miami for that defensive line to kind of take over as well. So I don't see this game as a blowout. Ohio State's played two playoff caliber teams in Texas and Indiana. They scored, 14 and 10 points those two games? So I think it's going to be a struggle for Ohio State to get to 21, 24 points. And if Miami can keep them to around 20, I think they're in with a real good chance to win.
Okay, take me through the offense. And Fletcher was a beast against A&M, and he had so many big runs. He's in the low 50s for his rushing yards prop. But you want to get Fletcher going early, or you want to try to get it to Tony?
I think that you need to get Fletcher going, and I actually would think that Matt Patricia and that Ohio State defense, they're going to take away Tony. It's going to be on Lofton or C.J. Okay. Daniels or Trader or Moore. It's going to be on someone else, Bauman from Miami. I think they can be creative. I think if you watch that Texas A&M game, I think remember the play where Tony was kind of looking for that throwback to Beck, and Beck was wide open. I wouldn't be surprised if Shannon Dawson maybe goes back and does that, because they're going to need something like that in order to sustain drives tonight. I don't think they're going to be able to run the ball at ease like they did against A&M. I think the Ohio State linebackers are much better. But I think if Carson Beck plays like the Carson Beck we saw against Notre Dame earlier in the year, USF earlier in the year, at Florida State earlier in the year, at Pitt in the final game of the regular season that they had at, if they get that Beck, they're going to be okay. But if they don't, if they get the Beck that we saw at Louisville and SMU and turn the ball over, then they're going to be in trouble. So I just think that Shannon Dawson, they have to trust this guy tonight. Indoors, clean environment. Give your quarterback an opportunity to win some games. A guy that's had, 40-somewhat starts of college football.
No, I know it's a low total, and it's actually come down from 42.5 to where it's at right now, and all these are key numbers. I almost want to attack it with alt-unders, like let's say under 31.5 and hope to get out of there with like a 17-14 game. This is a good tweet from Matthew. He sees a prop for this game tonight. Either team to score 30 points. The no is only a -166. That feels like almost a bargain, doesn't it?
Unless you're getting to overtime, I don't know how you're getting 30 points with either one of these teams. It's going to take a couple of non-offensive scores, overtime, a bunch of big plays. Is that on either like DraftKings or FanDuel?
Yeah,
I'm going to have to hop on.
I'm going to follow up right now and ask him where it's at. Hopefully, we can get an answer in the next couple of minutes or so.
Yeah, the one prop I did play in this game, I played Ohio State under 24.5. Like outlining the reasons why. And I played Miami to have the first sack in the game. It was +120 at DraftKings. And again, I think with the Miami defensive line, I think you're going to have a lot more passing attempts from Ohio State. I think you're going to have more opportunities, at least early on. And I would expect Miami to kind of establish the run a little bit more and a lot more quick hitting passes, but Carson Beck doesn't really hold the ball. So those were the two props that I did like tonight.
That's excellent. You're a mover and a shaker. You talk to everyone. You can get great seats to this game for $45. Do you think we could go to home games, campus sites for the quarters in the future?
I would hope so. I think maybe that's one of the things if they do expand to 16, and I am not a fan of expanding to 16. I think 12 is already pushing the limit, but I think that's one of the things. If you could get a second round or a quarterfinal game on home campuses, that would take away a lot of travel for fans. It would give even an added incentive, a bigger bonus for a regular season conference title or being one of the best teams in the regular season. I would love that. I love it. Just gives a better playoff type atmosphere. But again, you're going to have a drastic change. I think you're going to have to go to 16. Yeah. Or you're going to have to convince these bowl games, maybe. Something that's been floated out there is having these bowl games like the first game of the year and kind of maybe bowls recruiting teams to play an opening game. And maybe you get fans out there, come to Miami for the Orange Bowl, first game of the year. Come to Dallas for the Cotton Bowl, first game of the year. And maybe that's a way to keep these big bowls involved, because I think that will be ultimately the biggest sticking point, because these bowls won't go away quietly.
By the way, when you popped on like 7-8 minutes ago, the number I think was still 9 here at Circa. Look what happened here. Ohio State's down to 7.5.
Yeah, the number 9.5 I thought was just ridiculous. And I think now you're seeing a lot of the late money. Who knows if you want to. It does feel like it's a little bit of the pros versus Joes here in looking at some of the bet splits that you've seen out there with the number of tickets on Ohio State -9.5. And then it seems like most people in the Friday Football Invitational are on Miami plus the points. A lot of the guests that both you and other shows have had on this week on VSiN seem to be leaning towards Miami plus the points as well. So we'll see what side is right. Hopefully the dog is live here to win outright.
You have an opinion on the Orange Bowl and Oregon up to 2.5.
I do. I played Oregon early on at a different number. So I can't lay or suggest laying 2.5 with Oregon now. I would look at two other props in this game. I would look at the Texas Tech team total under 24.5. I'm not sure their offense is going to be built to go up and down the field on a good Oregon defense that I think that we'll see play a lot better after kind of mailing in the fourth quarter against James Madison. I think Dan Lanning has been very vocal about that, and I think they will be highly motivated to play a lot better. I don't think Oregon's going to score a bunch of points either, so maybe the under for the game is something you can look at, but I do think the Texas Tech team total under, and then take a look at Kenyon Sadiq, anytime touchdown scorer as well for Oregon, the big tight end. He is a matchup nightmare, and I think he could give that Tech defense some problems.
Very good. Now, what do you make of this? And now with various juice, but at FanDuel anyway, Indiana's -7.5, -102, Alabama +7.5, -120. Evidently today to the media, Kurt Cignetti three different times said, boy, travel really bad this week, and our practices have been terrible. Should you put any stock into that?
I think I do. I mean, look, I've been all over traveling all over the place myself, and travel has been bad, but I think the weather is going to be a factor in this game. I think if it does rain, like it's being called for, I think that helps Indiana because I think they can run the ball a lot better than Alabama can. And look, Alabama, they kind of feel like, I think they're playing with house money, and they're building up the whole, we no one thought we'd be here. And yet you're Alabama. You're not the plucky underdog. Don't worry. You're Alabama. I could see this game getting out of hand. I could see Indiana winning this game big. Or I could see maybe just that Alabama secondary making life a little bit more miserable on Mendoza. I did not play either side just because I'm a little unsure on exactly how bad the weather is going to be and how it's going to manifest. I did play Indiana to record the first sack in the game. That was -140 at DraftKings when I played it. Again, same thing. Alabama has no running game whatsoever. It's going to be Ty Simpson dropping back to throw early and often. I know Indiana had the injury on the defensive line that will affect their sack totals, but the Alabama offensive line has been very disappointing this year. And I know even in that Oklahoma game early on, they struggled to protect Simpson. So my best bet in that game was the Indiana to record the first sack.
Very good. Bear, love talking to you, man. Happy New Year, and go Canes.
Absolutely. Let's do it again, hopefully after a Miami win.
That'd be great.
Good luck.
There you go. Chris Felica on the Progressive Guest Line, Bear Betts podcast, also with Fox Sports. I don't have an answer yet to where that one prop is at, but other people listening to the show right now, including JD in Florida and others chiming in with some other props that they're seeing. We got to get to this after win-lose because phenomenal props on the game tonight.
Yeah, and we can pick around largest margin of victory, too. This will be the first time in 20 years the weather can impact the Rose Bowl.
Yeah. I'll huff and I'll puff and I'll blow your house down. Wait until you hear the latest jackpot here in Las Vegas, downtown. Unbelievable news. Paulie details next.
Always follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah. This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Paulie Howard on VSiN.
This hour sponsored by Better. Better Picks, the daily fantasy sports app where your sports knowledge turns into real cash fast. Download Better or visit better.app now. Sign up today, get free money and no deposit necessary. BETR, Happy New Year.
Absolutely. And it's a big hour to close up this show for the 2025 season. In 15 minutes, we'll get into the NBA card, NHL numbers as well. Matt Eumann's best bets in a half an hour, our best bets in 45 minutes. And right now we go out to the Progressive Guest Line. It's almost New Year's Day where Steve Wiss joins us from now, the meat man, an hour away in the London area. Good to have you on, meat man. Happy New Year. Thanks for the time. How are you?
Well, hello, guys. Happy New Year to you as well. Absolute pleasure to be on your last show of 2025. But yeah. Let's hope that 2026 is an absolute cracker, eh?
Yeah,
yes,
no doubt. And it's a busy day, as always, tomorrow in the Prim. Huge schedule of games, matches. Let's get underway with Liverpool and Leeds. Who do you like in this matchup, Beatman?
Liverpool is the team I like in this matchup, and I'm going to take them on the -1 Asian handicap here at -117. Two main reasons for it, because I think, number one, I think Liverpool are a little bit undervalued right now. They have sneakily found a bit of form, won three games in a row. They're definitely more defensively secure without Mo Salah, who's been at the African Cup of Nations. And they're definitely more secure with their with Alisson, the goalkeeper at the back, who's a big influence on the team. He can produce several world-class saves when he needs to. Leeds are in good form, my own team, but I think this is a horrible spot for Leeds United because they've got a massive match coming up, and I'll talk about this match later. Uh-huh. Leeds against Manchester United on Sunday. That is the biggest rivalry that Leeds have. And this team is not built to play three matches in a week. So I think Leeds might rest some players. I think they'll have focus elsewhere. It's a proper look-ahead spot for Leeds United. So Liverpool, bare minimum, should be winning the game. I've got a feeling that this could be quite a comfortable win, 2-0 or 3-0 to Liverpool. So taking them on the handicap.
All right, we got four matches tomorrow. How about another one? Sunderland against Man City. Man City minus 250. You want to approach it a different way here against Sunderland tomorrow.
To be honest, I'm absolutely fed up with Sunderland. They've been doing me dirty all season. And I've at some stage, I am absolutely convinced they are going to get well beaten. And I think this is the one. Manchester City, -1.5 on the handicap here. I'm actually going to take -2.5 as well for a little nibble myself. Because Sunderland, they're unbeaten at home. But I think that run ends here. They have a lot of absentees. Six players at the African Cup of Nations. Their best defender or key defender, Dan Ballard, was injured at the weekend. He probably won't play here. Leeds should have beaten Sunderland, really, at the weekend. Completely dominated the game. It ended a 1-1 draw. Sunderland looked so tired, out on their feet, lacking energy. Manchester City in the title race. They've got a much more quality lineup. They've got a lot of goal scorers. And they've got the rotation in the squad if they need to do that. So Sunderland have had a great season so far, but they are seriously on my fade list for 2026. They've overachieved in the metrics. The squad is definitely bottom four or five quality. And right now, I think it's a horrible matchup for them. Manchester City with a blowout win for me on the road.
How about Haaland to score two goals plus 250? Hat-trick is 12-1.
Don't think I'd go hat-trick because this is the time of year where minutes are maybe managed by the coaching staff. They've got to be careful. He might only get 65, 70 minutes, but the damage might be done by then. That's the thing. So I think the two goals bet would be the angle with Haaland.
Let's go to Saturday. Bournemouth against Arsenal. How about the under? State the case, please.
Yeah, it's the rules with Bournemouth. Back the under at home, right. Back the over away. And anyone who's been doing that this season has been in profit. And they had a 2-2 draw, Bournemouth did, away against Chelsea in midweek. Crazy difference in their goals numbers and the stats at home and away. So, you know, I think if we look at this particular fixture, Arsenal, the big news for Arsenal is that their best defensive duo, the centre-backs, Saliba and Gabriel, they are back together now after injury. So that is massive for Arsenal Football Club. They're this is the best defensive duo in the world. So whenever they're playing with each other, Arsenal don't look like conceding many goals. So that's the first thing I'll say about Arsenal. They're probably going to keep a clean sheet here. Bournemouth, their best player, and Semenyo, is going to be moving to Manchester City. He's not going to be playing in this game. And he said his goodbyes in midweek. That is a massive loss for them offensively. So the goals and the assists and the sheer dangerous threat from Semenyo is going to be significantly reducing Bournemouth's offensive ability. So I think we're looking here at probably Arsenal winning the game 1-0 or 2-0. They tend to be very, very efficient away from home. They did that against Everton just before Christmas, 1-0 win there. And I think we could see something very, very similar. We can get 2.75 goal line under here at even money. So I had to take that because you still get a little bit of insurance, a half loss if there's three goals exactly. But I wouldn't put off anyone taking under 2.5 goals around about plus 140 here either. Arsenal win 2-0 for me and a low-scoring match.
To Meatman, Steve Wiss at Meatman Soccer on X. Because we win pod on the Progressive Guest Line, Follow the Money, Paulie and Mitch Vieson, the Sports Betting Network. You teased it earlier. Leeds plays tomorrow, and then they play Man U on Sunday. What's the angle there?
Oh, this is a great game. I mean, I'm a Leeds fan, and I'm so excited about this one. Leeds have not beaten Manchester United at home in 22 years. So this is a big moment. They've not played each other that much over the last 20 years, in fairness. So it's a huge match. I mentioned Newcastle-Sunderland a few weeks ago. This is just like this. There could be cards. All sorts could be going on. It's going to get spicy. And I would love to back Leeds because I think Manchester United are there for the taking. Man United couldn't even beat Wolves yesterday, which is shocking. So I think they're there for the taking. But you know, Leeds have got this tough scheduling spot, having to play Liverpool, and Man United have got 2 days extra rest. So the angle I'm going to go with is a goal scorer, Dominic Calvert-Lewin, to score any time at plus 175. He's actually scored in 6 consecutive games for Leeds. He scored 7 goals in that period. He's plus 250 to score against Liverpool, but I think this is by far the better bet. He might not even play against Liverpool, or he might only get 45 minutes. But this guy's in great form. He's proved me wrong completely. I thought he was a terrible signing pre-season, mostly because of his poor injury record. But he has proven me wrong. He stayed fit, and they've switched to a new system of 2 strikers of Leeds, and he looks deadly in this system. He's going to cause a lot of problems. Leeds are so good from set pieces, corners, free kicks and stuff like that. They score the highest percentage of goals from set-piece situations in the Premier League. So I think they're going to give Manchester United all sorts of issues there. And I wouldn't trust this Man United defence. I mean, Wolves looked dangerous against it yesterday. So Leeds definitely can at least be a threat. I mean, I'm obviously hoping Leeds win the game, but it could be a draw, this one. But Calvert-Lewin is really overpriced here in the to score any time market, plus 175. He's on fire.
There are 6 matches Sunday. How about another one? Newcastle, Crystal Palace. How about Newcastle moneyline?
This might be the lock of the week, actually, for me. Okay. Newcastle simply, yeah. Beautiful. I mean, Palace, the problem for them is this is going to be their 12th game of soccer in 39 days, which in soccer terms is astronomically high. Normally, a team would only play probably 5 games in that period. So they simply can't cope. They're not a big team. If it was like Manchester City or Arsenal, they can cope. They can rotate. They've got the squad. They've got the roster to cope with it. But Crystal Palace don't. And at the minute, they're losing games left, right and centre. I mean, they're playing Fulham tomorrow. That's probably they're another fade there. I know Nigel really likes Fulham in that game, and I certainly wouldn't put off anyone backing against them. But Newcastle here at the weekend, Newcastle, really strong home team. I think 5 wins at home out of 9 this season. Usually right up there on the home metrics. It's a really tough place to go, St. James's Park. And, you know, they've got offensive weapons like Walter Mardu. Wissa has come back from injury now for the first time in the last few weeks. And I just see it as a straightforward home victory, really. Crystal Palace are a good team in like a normal schedule. But right now they're on their feet. They're tired. Nothing left in these legs. Newcastle should profit quite convincingly. Moneyline minus 143.
All right. How about one more match then? Tomorrow, this is in the England Championship version. Sheffield United takes on Leicester. And you like Sheffield United here to win it on the money line as well, minus 115. Why do you like them?
Well, they've been an incredible story, Sheffield United. They sacked their manager, Chris Wilder, at the end of last season and brought in a new boss. And then they sacked the new boss after about 8 games and brought back Chris Wilder. So it's like a proper soap opera, is this. But Wilder's come back and done a great job with Sheffield United. This is a squad that is definitely a top 6 squad in the Championship. They've won 6 of their last 9 games. They won 3 of the last 5 at home and only conceded 1 goal at home in that period. So they are trending in the right direction against this Leicester side. Very inconsistent in terms of results. But the one consistency with Leicester is defensive horrors. No clean sheet in 18 consecutive games. So they always concede a goal, Leicester City. And in fact, they've actually conceded 17 goals in their last 8 games. So that's an average of more than 2 per game. That's enough for me. Sheffield United here, they're scoring goals for fun at the moment. Moneyline minus 115. Even if they do concede a goal, they've got more than enough firepower to cover this Leicester side at home. That Sheffield United could be a bit of a sleeper team to even make the playoffs, you know, for those looking for a decent future odds.
Very good. Love the analysis as always. So again, about 50 minutes away from 2026 where you live, you get after it tonight. Bunch of Stellas, you hanging out with Nigel Seeley. What's the game plan?
These days it's more of a quiet one. I've got to do a very early recording session. So I've got to make sure I'm in sharp sort of state. I can go out and party on other nights. This one, I'm just going to have to keep it quiet. How about you guys?
No, can't do it. Been out here for too long. Not going to go to the strip, hang out.
I can't imagine the roads, and it's going to rain tonight.
It's going to rain tonight as
well.
Could be ugly.
So. Oh, really?
Yeah. So there you go. Follow Steve on X. He is at Meatman Soccer, the Betting Weekly Studios as well, Because We Win podcast. Happy New Year, pal, and thanks for everything you've done for the show this year.
Thanks, everyone. I want to wish everyone a happy New Year and stay safe out there. Take care.
You got it. Well said.
And he was on the Progressive Guest Line. Man, a couple of really good bowl games today, by the way, in college football. We'll update the live betting numbers and where they're at in those games. And we'll talk a little NBA and NHL betting numbers for tonight's card. Coming up on Follow the Money, it's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Time for some best bets. College football tonight, tomorrow, NFL this weekend as well. VSiN host Matt Eumanns joins the program. He just got out of the Golden Knights game. They look bad today. They lost at home. And he's on the Progressive guest line. All right, Matt, Miami and Ohio State, it kicks off in about an hour or so. Your thoughts overall on the game, and how did you bet it?
All right, so I missed a 10 on Miami. And it was 9.5 pretty much everywhere. Last night I just made the decision, hey, I got to buy the half point to 10. And typically I wouldn't do that, but since I missed the tens, I don't want to take 9.5, watch this game land on 10, and it's going to ruin my night. So I said, I'm going to go ahead and buy the half point, plus 10 and minus 125. I think the Hurricanes got a real shot to win this game. I feel like Ohio State's a bit overrated in the betting market all season. Ohio State defense is legit, 8.2 points per game. But if you look, how many really good offenses did the Buckeyes face this season? Not many. Well, the problem is Miami doesn't have a really good offense either, not when Carson Beck is not playing his best. He didn't play his best against Texas A&M. That was a really conservative game plan. Mark Fletcher was the stud for the Canes that day with 172 yards rushing. You got to think the Ohio State defense is probably going to neutralize Fletcher to a certain extent, and Beck's going to have to make more plays in this game. Well, I think he can. Well, the problem is I think – Ohio State's offense just not been as explosive as a lot of people thought to. And the Miami defense held A&M to 89 rushing yards in that 10-3 win, about 10 days ago. I think this Miami defense is legit. Now, I want to bet on a low-scoring game here, but we just watched that Iowa-Vandy game blow up. It was 7-3 late in the half. It looked like a dead under, and that game blew up. There's always a possibility that could happen here, too. I played a little bit under 41, but I played a lot more on Miami plus 10. I saw where Chris the Bear Felica, he was on your show today. He said he felt like this number was disrespectful to Miami. And I do think the Canes have a shot to win the game. So I took the 10. I had to pay a little bit more to get it.
For the first time in 20 years, rain can impact the Rose Bowl. What do you think about Indiana laying 7 against Bama? We've talked about it. Biggest dog Bama's been since 2008.
Yeah, think about that. You grew up in the Midwest or wherever, and you always watch the Rose Bowl on New Year's Day, and it's sunny and warm, and the sun sets over the San Gabriel Mountains, and Wes Reynolds has waited a lifetime to go out to Pasadena, and when he gets out there, it's raining. Right? It's going to be a dismal, rainy day, but he'll be happy if the Hoosiers win. I think they're going to win the game. I actually talked to someone over in Pasadena who told me that the weather reports are going to be exaggerated. Doesn't think it's going to rain that much and doesn't think the field's going to be sloppy. It's not going to be a factor. So I've got a lot bet on Indiana, a lot more on the money line and a lot more on an Indiana-Georgia money line parlay, which I'll talk about here in a minute.
Okay.
But Chris Signetti's 24-2 in 2 years, and the two losses, true road games at Ohio State and Notre Dame last year. And when the Hoosiers stepped up in class this year, they did just fine, winning at Oregon, beating Ohio State in the Big Ten title game. Number two scoring defense in college football at 10.8 per game, right behind Ohio State. And when they played the Buckeyes in the Big Ten championship, they held Ohio State to 58 rushing yards. So when you look at the flip side on Alabama, I feel like that four-week stretch in the middle of the season was the best Alabama's played. Since then, pretty mediocre team. And that was exposed in the SEC championship game when the Tide could not run the ball. They had a distinct inability to run the ball. Georgia took advantage of that and won that game 28-7. I think Indiana's going to do something similar here. I'm not saying it's going to be a 3-touchdown win, but I think the Hoosiers win by double digits. I played it bigger at minus 235. I did play some at Indiana minus 6.5 and 7. And I've also got this money line parlay with Indiana, Georgia, but hey, I think Kurt Cignetti is the next Nick Saban. When you watch how he coaches, when you listen to him talk, and you know that he was a Saban understudy on that first staff in Tuscaloosa in 2007, this guy is legit, man. And I think he's better than Kalen DeBoer right now. And Ty Simpson, Alabama quarterback, you're going to have to play like a superstar for the Tide to have a shot to win this game. And I don't think he will. Indiana's going to win and advance, and Wes is going to be happy on his way back from Pasadena.
All right. That'd be excellent. Good luck. How about – it's a tough call here about how important and how much Kiffin means. So you still have the whole staff and the offensive guys helping out, and they look great against Tulane. And certainly Ole Miss got whatever they wanted for much of the game at Georgia. What do you think the second go around Georgia's 6.5 in the Sugar Bowl?
Yeah, I thought that first game without Kiffin, you were going to get a team that played with a lot of energy and a fully focused team, and a team and a coaching staff. Everyone wanted to prove they could win without Lane Kiffin in that first game against Tulane. Well, the Green Wave were simply outmatched in that game, and that's not going to be it's going to be a totally different story here against Georgia. And Kirby Smart's defense did not look very Georgia-like early in the season, but the last four games, Kirby's got that defense playing great. 7.3 points over the last four games. It's a totally different defense, dramatically improved. And Gunnar Stockton has been playing great at quarterback position. And late season wins against Alabama and Texas, Stockton had 7 touchdown passes and 1 pick. And he reminds me, I don't know about you guys, but the more I watch Gunnar Stockton, he reminds me a little bit of Brock Purdy, kind of the college version of Brock Purdy. And the more you watch him, the more he grows on you, because he can make plays with his arm and his legs, and he's a high IQ guy. I really like Georgia to advance. So I was talking about the money line parlay. I played Indiana, Georgia on a money line parlay at plus 103. That's the current number at Circa. If you play it, if you money line parlays, you get a little bit plus money on that. I like Georgia to cover. I don't love it. So I didn't bet as much on Georgia here at -6 or 6.5 as the market number. 6 was at South Point. I like Georgia to win the game. Not crazy about them to cover, but that's the way I played that one.
Matt Youmans, our guest, VSiN host. He's on the Progressive Guest Line. Follow the money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Sunday night, National Football League, loser leaves town match, Steelers-Ravens. Do you think the Steelers can win this game? Are you betting on Mike Tomlin, Matt?
I am going to bet on Tomlin, and it concerns me to bet on Aaron Rodgers. He had 3 weeks where he played pretty well, and then last week he was awful in Cleveland. That's about as bad as I've ever seen Aaron Rodgers play last week against the Browns. Hopefully he gets his act together here. In regular season meetings between Tomlin and Harbaugh, the underdog is 25-7-3 against the spread. I really thought this number was going to be Baltimore as a 2.5-point favorite. I'm happy to take the 3.5 here. T.J. Watt looks like he's going to play, which is going to be a positive for that Pittsburgh defense. Obviously, the concern is that Derrick Henry might just bulldoze that Pittsburgh run D, which has had some issues. But the Steelers won at Baltimore 27-22 in Week 14. And Lamar Jackson, even if he plays, he has not been spectacular. 6-6 in 12 starts. He's got a season low in rushing yards. I like the Steelers' chances to win the game. I'll take the 3.5.
A lot of people were surprised at this opening number. The Bears open only 1.5 at home to Detroit. They're up to 3. And now Philly's also sitting people as well. So still have Johnson trying to get the 2 seed. Offense looked great last week. What do you think of the Bears at home against the Lions with a little bit of revenge after they got humiliated in the first meeting?
Well, Paul, that's one thing I was going to say. I laid 2.5 with the Bears. They got their butts beat 52-21 in week 2. And you know Ben Johnson remembers that. He wants some revenge on Dan Campbell, who rubbed it in. Campbell did rub it in the first time. Lions have won 4. They've lost 4 of the last 5. And last week when they had a lot to play for, they had 231 total yards and 6 turnovers in Minnesota in a pathetic performance. I thought Caleb Williams played pretty well last week, 330 yards passing. He did miss a couple throws, missed a couple reads, but he needs 270 yards, believe it or not, to be the Bears' first ever 4,000-yard passer. I think the Bears can win this game and win big. I mean, can you guys explain it? Why did this number open so low?
I
was surprised. Yeah, I don't either.
Yep. This could be a rollover. Mitch compared it to Kansas City against the Titans. That definitely could be in play here. I'm with you on one more. Rams 7.5 against Arizona. McVay's mad. He's going to play people. They need a better performance. Arizona's lost 13 of 14. 5 of the last 8, they've allowed at least 37 points as well.
That's what I was going to say, too. Arizona's lost 8 in a row, and they've allowed 37 or points or more in five of those games. He's been blown out in a lot of these games.
Oh, yeah.
And I agree with Sean McVay's decision here. Players, starters, you need a get-right game before the playoffs. I think this is going to be a get-right game for the Rams. And also, Stafford needs to put up big numbers. I do think they care about getting Stafford the MVP. So a get-right game, maybe get Stafford the MVP. I think the Rams are going to roll. I laid 7 with L.A.
Beautiful. Matt, enjoy your night tonight on in the Strip or wherever you're going to take in New Year's. Happy New Year, pal.
Okay, you bet. You too. Job. Thanks.
That's a great angle, too, on Caleb Williams' props. 270 yards.
What does that mean?
He's 240. Yeah, I mean, he's 270 to be the first Bear ever. He's plus 170 at DraftKings to have 270. That's what he needs to become the first quarterback to throw for 4,000 yards.
Which is one of the most amazing stats you're ever going to hear.
I know, yeah. That's nuts. Cutler couldn't do that?
No, that's the first guy I thought of.
Think you know sports? Get paid for it with Better Picks, daily fantasy app that turns your sports knowledge into real cash. Just download Better. Pick more or less on your favorite player's stats. If your pick hits, you win. New users get free money just for signing up. No deposit required. And when you do deposit, you get a 50% match up to $200. Go to better.app now or download Better today. Code VSiN.
Our best bets next in Pocket Plays here on Follow the Money.